My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to another episode of the Inside United podcast. Today we're going to discuss the topic of debt with our guest, Howard Marchbanks. He is a deacon in the Redlands, California congregation. He's a planned giving coordinator for the United Church of God. And we do appreciate his work that he's done for us now, I think going on 2 years. He began his career as a financial advisor in 1992. He graduated from California State University Fullerton in 1993. And during his almost 30 years in the financial industry, Howard has been called upon to help clients identify overall life goals. Welcome to Inside United, Howard.
Well, hello, Vic. It's good to be here again this afternoon.
Now, you've worked with many people in your career. What seems to be the core of debt and credit problems that curse, trouble, and affect people?
I think what I'd like to start with is the notion of debt itself. And I recall very specifically when I was in college, in business school, and they started talking about debt. Now, I was already in the church at that time, and there was the notion that all debt was bad. So to have the instructors and professors start teaching you that it is good and for a useful manner, it was quite eye-opening. And what you find the core problem with debt, whether it's good or bad, is the misuse of it. It can be misused by corporations, it can be misused by nations, it can be misused by individuals. And coming to the core problem, I'm really going to summarize it really simply. It's wants versus needs and living within those means.
Well, what can people do to help themselves when they get into trouble?
Number one, they're going to have to recognize it. And perhaps the easiest way to recognize it is feeling pain. And that pain could be not being able to, pay a debt, having people start calling you on the phone as collectors. Maybe it's a medical bill or something of that nature. These things tend to get ahead of you. And what people can do is recognize it and start to organize their cash flow. What to really write down what is coming in and what is going out, and then making those hard, bitter choices to decide what you have to cut. Is it the cable TV? Is it the extra dinner out per week? I mean, there's usually money in people's budgets, but it's just misappropriated.
Well, what it really comes down to, it is just very simple. What comes in, what goes out, you have to have the same amount. You have to have more come in than goes out. It's just very simple, just like losing weight. You know, people want to find trick ways to do it, but it's a matter of how many calories in, how many calories out. And the same kind of thing is true in managing your money.
It is, but, unfortunately, you see somebody who's making $40,000, they want to live like they make $50,000. And it's even worse. You're making $200,000. You want to pretend like you're making $300,000, and people just always want to extend themselves, and they're looking for some kind of personal satisfaction, Vic, out of stuff they buy, and it's not gonna last.
And then you get stuck with interest payments, and that leads us to the next point that we wanted to talk about, Howard, is how is it that interest rates can vary so much, and people who are greater risks then get into higher interest rate levels? What do you do? How do you counsel people? Because you're not only a financial advisor in helping with estates and that type of thing. You're also a person who's a counselor helping people get out of debt, correct?
Well, you keep out of debt and work your way out of debt. And what you wind up doing is you're working your way into having some type of wealth and net worth for yourself. Interest. I mean, the reason why businesses, banks are going to charge you a higher rate of interest is because you're a greater risk of default and not making those payments to them. And they measure that by how much debt you have versus how much money you have coming in. And you're going to get a higher rate. It's going to come from purchasing a home. And I think of people who have gotten a loan on their mortgages, and it's fine. They're paying a reasonable rate. But then they want something else. And you hear these commercials all the time that saying, oh, well, get money out of your home, borrow from your home. Well, guess what? You're going to pay a higher interest rate for that second mortgage on your home than your first, because there's a higher risk that you're going to default on that loan. And besides, the person who owns the original mortgage, they have first rights of all the equity in that home if you default. So the more loans you have out and debt you have out, the higher your risk and the likelihood you're going to be paying a higher rate for everything.
Now, how can you assist people really manage their debt?
There's this one, I'm going to call it a gimmick, of payment of your credit cards. Let's say you have four credit cards outstanding. One of the things I recommend people do is you realize how much you're paying on interest on each of those credit cards. They could vary from, 8% to 16%, 24%. Well, what you would do is say, okay, I have $300 a month I can pay per month on my four credit cards. What you do is you pay the minimum payment on the lower interest rate credit cards, and you pay the balance, which would be the minimum plus your other $50 or whatever that number is, to the larger interest rate card. Eventually, the larger interest rate card is going to get paid off first. Perhaps it'll be first, but it's the one that you want to get paid off first. And then you still allocate the same dollar amount that you were paying for the four credit cards into the three credit cards. And then you go to the next highest rate, and then you go to the next lowest rate, and then the next lowest rate, but you're still keeping that payment of that $300. You're still keeping that consistent through your whole debt cycle until they're all paid off. And then they're called as the snowball approach. You start and you get it rolling, and eventually that last credit card gets paid off really fast.
The prudent understand where they are going, but fools deceive themselves. Proverbs 14:8. I guess a lot of this is, common sense. It's just using wisdom and just being aware of where you're going with what you're doing and what you're spending.
Well, I tend to believe, Vic, that we're faithful people, and I believe that God uses debt as a tool for us, just like He would use any other thing that comes in and can seduce people, gambling or alcoholism, eating. I mean, there's so many things that can cause us and tempt us, and debt is one of those things. But it's kind of interesting that God also uses debt as a learning process. We have our 7-year cycles, and there's the Jubilee, which we can talk about in a church meeting. But those are tools that He is using to teach a future people how to manage their debt in a reasonable manner, to where it doesn't become like our federal debt that is just ridiculous and crazy.
Well, Howard, when people hear the word debt, and even when we were planning this podcast, it's a negative word. Mm-hmm. How can you make the word debt sound positive? I know some people may not like that, but there may be some very, very good outcomes from certain kinds of debt. Maybe you can kind of enlighten us on that.
It's interesting when you think about the word debt. I mean, even when I started business school, I had that notion I didn't want to get into debt. And that's true. But it's about money management. And I can think of people, they're using credit cards in a smart, efficient way. And either they're getting cash back on their purchases that they're paying for every month. They're using it instead of a checkbook. Some people are getting free air miles for signing up for new credit cards. So instead of being the person that is being taken advantage of by these credit cards, they've flipped it. It's like they're taking advantage of it, and they're using that process for good. But I guess you could say the other hand is the credit card companies can do something good for you because they're doing something bad and extorting interest from other people who can't pay. And that could be a little bit true, too.
One thing, perhaps this is a digression, but in some poor countries where there are loans being set up to help poor people, the interest rates are so
microloans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some of it sounds very, very good, but You can make these people your slaves, literally, where they cannot pay back, and they just are on a treadmill continually for that. And you know, in the nonprofit work that I do, you know, we've looked at various things like that to really help people, and we find out that it's the big corporations, big businesses, who pay prime rate, which is the lowest interest, and the little people pay the crime rate.
They pay that's crazy, isn't it? You know, I think of school loans and all these young people that are getting locked into these school loans. Some of these people are fast talkers that are making them sign the documents. The schools, they want the income. They want that all up front to pay for it. But I've seen people graduate and they get hundreds of thousands of dollars. And admittedly, some of them have gone to law school and they had to pay that extra amount. But boy, that's a house payment every month.
Well, people who go to college are, you know, in their early 20s and not experienced. And then you see at seminars, there's the credit card companies are right there sign them up and get them to enjoy using that credit card and not thinking about what that might lead to.
Well, I think of a situation where a friend of mine, he had his kid go to college and he was living, you know, different state, and he gave him a credit card. But the things the kid would put on the credit card were crazy. And just think of it, it's like, what are you teaching your child that you just use this thing and you never have to pay it off? And that's what got into this kid's head.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing you were talking about here too is that lifestyle has much to do with how we spend our money and getting ourselves perhaps into a box of what we don't jump out of, you know, as far as the kinds of things we buy. Give us some advice and habits about lifestyle and how we manage our money within that.
Well, everybody should have some type of cash flow statement for themselves, to where they're actually writing down what's coming in. They're seeing physically with their eyes. Hopefully their eyes are open and they can see the dollars. They can use the math education they learned in elementary school, plus and minus. It's really simple, and you can find out what's left over. But by listing it, it's kind of amazing how you can, oh yeah, I get, you know, some kind of video thing I pay for my TV. It's like, oh, I got this other channel. It's like, next thing you know, it's like $45 you're spending on these things. And until you really write it down and see what's left over, and plus savings. I mean, if there's no savings in your budget, then obviously there's a problem as well. You should always save a little bit of what you're making. So that cash flow budget, looking at your statements from your debtors, whether it's your home or your student loan or your credit cards, know what rate you're paying and really focus on paying the highest debt first and paying extra to get it paid before, I don't know, what is it, 10 or 15 years to pay off your average credit card at the minimum rate. And then at that time, you're paying, what, 3, 4, 5 times as much as the original thing you wanted to buy.
Howard, one more thing I was going to say, too, that, you know, people use to get you on a treadmill, and maybe it's a newer thing, but I kind of got stung myself, where people want you to subscribe to something, you know. And just a few months back, subscribed inadvertently to this Bible school program, would you believe, for children. I thought it was okay. I didn't realize it was a subscription. I thought I was buying the lessons for, I believe it was the book of 1st and 2nd Peter. And I didn't realize that I was signing up for subscription. And it was like $20 a month. And then I saw that on the bill. I said, oh, I didn't buy that. And then I thought, well, maybe that's what I paid the first time. So I paid it. And then it came on the bill again. And I realized I had forgotten or had mislabeled it a subscription. And so I called the 800 number that was there. They were very good to take it off and to take me off of the subscriber list. But that's maybe one thing we could tell people. They could be part of us. They give their credit card once, and then it's billed over and over again without them even realizing it. And they could get into some kind of a music service or service with, you know, whatever.
Oh, cloud-based services for storage or any number of things like that.
Howard, can you comment on people living beyond their financial ability and having problems with with stability? We were kind of covering this question, having some discussion about it.
You know, that's an interesting question, because it's about people that are living fast. And boy, they burn out. You know, you build up all this debt, and sometimes this debt, maybe you're in a sales job and you think, oh, I'm going to have that great sale. I'm going to be able to pay off all this debt. Well, you know, market downturns do happen. And sometimes that cash flow that you are expecting stops, and you're not able to pay your debt at that point in time. You have collectors calling, you're getting letters, you're paying enormous interest rates on your revolving credit. So sometimes you need to go get counseling. And I'm talking about professional counseling from nonprofit agencies. They're in every community around the United States, and they will help you with credit counseling. They'll help you set up your cash flow statement. They will talk to your creditors. They can reduce the amount of debt you owe and reorganize it into a single payment. If you are really, really in a bad, desperate strait, you can be referred to attorneys and perhaps get debt removal from some type of bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. And for some folks, you know, medical bills are the largest reasons for bankruptcy. And in this time of COVID, you can just imagine some of the co-payments people are having to pay. And somebody who's making $40,000 a year to get hit with a $100,000 bill, that, again, that's just like another house payment, and it'll break people.
We might want to comment about medical bills, because if somebody is hit with something that's just really astronomical, I mean, there's just no way out. What about negotiating? What about coming to them and say, look, here's what I make, and I do want to pay. I don't want to just run from it. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, in the negotiating of debt, it's a common sense principle that they'd rather get 50 cents than 0 cents. So sometimes they can drop the interest rates on your credit card. Certainly anybody has that option of calling your Visa or MasterCard company and saying, well, I either pay really good or I'm having a hard time. Please reduce my interest rate by a few percent. And a lot of times they'll do it for you. In the case of medical bills, when it gets to a worst case situation where these bills are just more than you can afford, the collectors will call. And the deal with the collectors that they've already made with your doctor or medical facility is the collector is going to get 50% of anything anyway. The doctor has already written it off. So you can, before it gets to collection, you have wiggle room with your medical providers to get that debt reduced, because if it goes collection, they know they're going to take a 50% hit. So to take 25% off or 30% off is going to be more favorable to them in the long term.
Howard, what about people, we've already kind of talked around this a little bit, have come to a really low point in their financial life and want to just really start all over again? Give us some pointers on that.
Well, that's talking about bankruptcy, where you're giving up your credit, you're cutting up your credit cards, you're living on a cash basis, you're selling your property and your assets to at least live on what you make, because no one's going to loan you any money to do anything else. Maybe you got to sell a car. Maybe you live with no car. Maybe you learn with public transportation for a while. Again, that goes back to this whole notion I'm telling you, that debt being a training tool for character. But bankruptcy can wipe out debt. But again, it doesn't wipe out all your debt. It's not going to wipe out anything you owe to the Internal Revenue Service or your state tax board. It's not going to wipe out any school debts. Some things are not allowed to get wiped out. But certainly public credit, homes, cars, that stuff can get wiped off. But
you mentioned how with the government that you cannot declare bankruptcy as far as your taxes are concerned. But can you negotiate? No. Can you negotiate taxes or not?
I've never physically seen it done, although I hear these things on the radio all the time out here in Los Angeles that you can, if you have a $10,000 debt or more with the IRS, again, they want to see something rather than nothing. And that nothing can mean that you just decide not to pay and go underground. I mean, on a cash basis of your living, which I definitely don't recommend that. But certainly they will negotiate. There's a website you can go to and you can set up a payment plan with them to pay your debt so the letters are stopping, and lowball them. If you think you can afford $25, tell them you can afford $25. They'll come back and say, well, we figure the payment needs to be $31.02. Good enough. But at least you got it under control. And that payment, if it's the IRS, it gives you that opportunity to then stay current, which is a requirement of your current year taxes. So you can have one, I mean, it's like one time you can kind of screw up and get behind, but you're not going to be able to do it for 2 or 3 years. It's only a 1 year at a time deal with the IRS.
Howard, any closing comments?
Well, I think using debt can be as good as long as it is used in a wise and appropriate manner, within the bounds of our goal of creating godly character. Having an ongoing personal cash flow realization, having it written down, or maybe you're doing it on QuickBooks, but have that worksheet so you know what's coming out and going in, and that's the basis of a financial plan, and self-control. Telling yourself, no, I can't have it. No, I want to pay this off. And having that attitude that you're going to do the right thing and not go any deeper into debt if it's to your detriment.
How could we contact you, Howard, if we have any questions?
Well, the email is at plangiving@ucg.org. That goes right to my email, and I can answer questions. Also, I have a direct dedicated phone number at 513-570-2343. That's 513-570-2343.
Howard, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure, Vic.
I want to thank you very much for listening to Inside United. Be sure to tell your friends about our weekly podcast. You can write here also, and I'll forward everything that is sent here to Howard. You can write to us at podcast@ucg.org. podcast@ucg.org. You can find us here on the UCG website at podcast button, which is on the main menu line. Use your favorite Apple or Android podcasting app. You can also find us on Spotify. So we thank you very much. Come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org. Thank you.